Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the cross. Jesus, we are so grateful that you hung on a cross in our place. You paid a debt that was due me, that if you didn't pay, I'd pay myself, and I'd be forever separated from heaven. Thank you for the cross. Thank you. What a Savior. Help us to know today, as this weekend we celebrate your resurrection, that it isn't just some religious event. This is when heaven came to earth and paid the debt that no man could pay. A Savior came and redeemed our lives and suffered in my place and died and was buried and rose from the dead and conquered death. And he did it for me. And he did it for every person under the sound of my voice. Father, I thank you. Thank you for a Savior. Thank you for a Savior. Amen, 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 amen. Hey, I am so glad you joined us this weekend to celebrate Easter with us, this resurrection weekend. You know, it's an amazing thing that Jesus sacrificed his life for me. With all that's going on in our world around us, the thought that the God of the universe loved me so intimately that he sacrificed for me. He gave his life for me. It's so easy to take a day like, and a weekend like Easter, and to make it some religious thing that really doesn't have any application to your life. And I'm praying for you this weekend that's not what happens. I'm praying that right now, that God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, does something amazing in your soul. And I want to welcome you to joining us in this time of worship in his word, to celebrate his resurrection. I want to welcome those from the Cranberry campus and the Newcastle campus, and the campus is all over the place now, your homes, your phones, wherever. I'm just glad you're here with us. I know it's not church as normal, but I'll tell you what, we serve a God that's above it all. And as we celebrate this weekend, I want you to know that Easter, the absolute understanding of this weekend, Easter is a declaration of hope in the middle of hopelessness. It's a message of life when death is abounding. You know, it's a time in our world when we're in, no doubt, worldwide crisis. Totally, it's gone nuts. The world is falling apart at the seams. There aren't a lot of answers. People are doing everything they can. But we live in a world right now where there are not a lot of answers. And people are suffering, and people are actually dying. And I want to help you to understand today that we serve a living God. Not a God who's distant, a God who is ever present in our times of trouble. And I know with all my heart that God wants you to today, personally experience the power of his resurrection. Today, to personally experience the hope that comes from a relationship with a God that loves you so much that he died for you. The title of our message today is, it's an odd title. It's And Peter. And Peter. And I know that sounds like a weird title, and I guess it is, but what it declares is so incredible that I want you to see today that it's a personal invitation from God himself to have an intimate relationship with you. Not some religious experience, not something you do once a year on a Sunday or a Saturday night to celebrate Easter or the resurrection of Jesus. This today is a personal invitation from the God of the universe for you to experience him in such an intimate way that you experience the resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead, that you experience the hope that comes from having that kind of intimate relationship with God. I'm going to take you into the life of Peter. I want to take you into the night in which Jesus was betrayed. And this is the night when Peter's life fell apart in a way that he never imagined that it could. You know, I'm sure you've had times in your life like that. We're in a time in the world where anything that people trusted in is gone. And our lives have changed almost overnight. And I want to take you into a time when that happened to Peter. And I want you to see the downside, what he actually misjudged God about, and how Jesus turned it around, and how he wants to turn it around for you. Whether you've been a believer or a follower of Jesus your whole life, this message will change perhaps the way you see the love of God. But I'm speaking now to those, so many of you your heart's far from God, or maybe you've only had a kind of a religious thing with God, but you've never really had an intimacy with God. That's my hope for you right now, that you experience God intentionally by His power, that you experience intentionally the resurrection of a Savior. His love for you is unimaginable. The night that Jesus was arrested, He pulled His disciples together and He told them this. He said, guys, I'm about to leave you. And when I'm about to go, every one of you here are going to abandon me. Every one of you here are going to depart from me. You're going to reject me and deny me in just a few hours. Now, Peter, hearing this, you know, he loved Jesus. He had walked with Him for 3 years. You have to remember, he's seen Him raise the dead, cleanse the leper, walk on water, speak to the wind and the waves, and it obeyed Him. You have to understand that Peter realizes, and he knows the power that is in the Son of God, that nothing can stand against Him. And Peter's life is about to shift. It's about to flip, and he doesn't know what to do. And when Jesus says, Peter, all of you, you're going to abandon me. You're going to deny me. You're going to leave me. I want you to listen to what Peter said in Matthew 26, verse 33. He answered back to Jesus, and he said this, Lord, if everyone else deserts you, I won't do it. Jesus told him this. He said, listen, I'm telling you the truth, Peter. This very night, before the rooster crows at dawn, you will deny me three times. And listen to what Peter says. He says, I'll die first. Absolutely not. I will die first. I will never deny you. Peter, that's what his heart was. He's thinking, no, Jesus, there's no way. I'm not leaving you. I'll die first. See, in the presence of Jesus, he had tremendous courage. But then circumstances happened that he didn't understand. And that courage quickly turned into a paralyzing fear for him. In fact, it gripped his soul. And now I want you to see what Peter actually saw. I don't want to be hard on the guy. He's expecting Jesus to rule and to reign. He doesn't understand this aspect of a Messiah coming to die for the sin of the world. He doesn't get it. And he watched the one who walked on water, the one that conquered death, the one that went to a coffin of a young boy and commanded the dead boy to rise from the dead, the one who raised Lazarus from the dead, the one who raised the little daughter of Jairus' daughter from the dead. Peter had seen it all. And now he sees Jesus being arrested. Peter tries to stop it. And Jesus says, put your sword away. And Jesus is arrested. And Peter's probably still somewhat hopeful. And from a distance, now he sees Jesus being beaten. Not just beaten in a way that would just be a little bit uncomfortable. They beat Him mercilessly. They blindfolded Him and began to spit on Him. And Peter's watching it. And they would say, now tell us, prophesy, who's the one who spit on you, O Son of God. And the Bible said, then they began to punch Him in the face. Then they began to pull His beard out and ripped it out of His face. Peter's watching it. He watched as they put a crown of thorns on the head of a Savior. He watched as they beat Him mercilessly as the 39 stripes on His back, and His back was shredded. And Peter's looking and realizing they're going to kill Him. He's condemned to die. And his world ends. His faith is completely shaken. He went from saying, I'll die for you, I'll never desert you, to being totally shaken. What he's seen with his eyes, like what many of us are seeing with our eyes right now, shook him to the core. And now this man who had this great courage, willing to die for a Savior, is so shaken in his faith that he denies actually Jesus three times. Once it was a little girl. The first was a little girl, a teenager. And she said, weren't you with Jesus? And he said, no, I don't know Him. This man who had courage to die is now afraid of a little girl. And then another young lady said the same thing in essence. And he took an oath and he said, I give you my word. I take an oath. I never knew Him. And then this is when his life absolutely fell apart. You know, I don't know if you've ever had your life fall apart. I don't know if you've ever had a set of circumstances come your way where one day it was normal and the next day it just changed. Now, for most of us, we've had that happen to us. If you haven't, I'm so grateful. But the whole world's experiencing it right now. The whole world is in panic right now. And I want you to see this last moment of his denial, This is when Peter's life fell completely apart. And here's what happened in Matthew 26. This is the last denial. And then he said to them, Peter, and he began to curse and to swear and said, I do not know this man. And then immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, who said to him, before the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times. So Peter went out and he wept violently and bitterly and loudly. One translation said, and he cried and he cried and he cried. This is a gut-wrenching grief. This is a gut-wrenching grief mixed with this horrible regret. All of us likely have experienced this kind of grief. If you've lost perhaps a loved one, God forbid if you've ever lost someone like a child, it's unimaginable grief. A spouse, even a parent, even it doesn't matter how old your parent may be when they pass, there's this grief that's inconsolable when you lose somebody. And that's exactly what happened here. Peter is so grief-stricken, he is so overwhelmed that he feels like he's dying inside. And then it gets worse. Now he sees Jesus crucified. He watches him die. He sees him buried. His life, everything he had seen, everything he had hoped for, is gone. He loses all hope. Something died in Peter. If you're honest, I bet there's been times in your life something died in you. Perhaps it's happening right now with what's going on in our world. Whatever it is, I can promise you this, it's a horrible feeling. This is a man who Jesus gave direction to, gave promises to, told him how God intended to use him with his life. And he trusted Jesus. He believed what he said, and it's gone. And now it's over for Peter. It's not maybe over. He is convinced that it's over. But except it's not over. Aren't you glad that on the third day it changed? Jesus, who went into that tomb, didn't stay in that tomb. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He conquered death, and he brought life and literal immortality to light so that any person could give their life to Christ and receive eternal life. But Peter didn't know that. Peter didn't understand that. That death to him was final. I wonder how many things today you've made final in your life that God said, I want to do a resurrection in. I wonder what you're experiencing today, perhaps as a result of this pandemic, that you have just had a funeral for, if you will, and said, that's over. That God said, no. I'm a God of a resurrection. Do you understand a relationship with God is not just this distant thing where you talk to him and it's just this vague nothing. It's the God, listen, who said, I want to be an ever-present help with you in times of trouble. And on the third day, we know the story, early in the morning, the women went to the tomb. In Jewish custom, they were going to anoint his body with spices. With oils. And they were wondering as they walked, how are we going to get someone to remove the stone that had been sealed on the tomb and guarded by the Roman guards? But when they got there, the stone had been rolled away. And something amazing happened. In Mark chapter 16, listen to the story of when they began to understand that Jesus had risen from the dead and had conquered death. In Mark 16:5, it said, as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. He said, don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified, but he's risen, and he is not here. See the place where they've laid him. But you go and tell his disciples, now listen, and Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you. I wonder, what did it feel like when those words came to Peter? When Mary came back with the other women, and you can imagine their excitement. He's alive. Jesus is alive. And he told us to come back and tell all of you disciples, everybody. And you can imagine Peter hearing, even if he believed inside, he's saying, it's too late for me. I've denied him. He doesn't want me anymore. It's over. And I wonder what it felt like when the angel said, go tell his disciples. And then she stopped and she said, Peter, he said, and tell you personally, Jesus is looking forward to seeing you in Galilee. You see, because Peter believed it was over. And I want you to see the God of the universe, with all that had happened in this amazing story of love of redemption, the love of God expressed through Jesus, He remembered Peter. And he said, you tell him that the things he's thinking about me, the things he's thinking about himself, are absolute lies. What did hearing and Peter do for Peter? What will it do for you when you put your name in that very same place? It means forgiveness. It means that everything behind you no longer defines you. It means that everything you've ever done wrong isn't greater than God's love for you. It means that God never throws you away, no matter what you've done, no matter how you failed, and no matter what's going on in your life. It also means acceptance. That's what Peter heard. You mean you aren't rejecting me? You mean because of the mistakes I've made, the sin in my life, this horrible thing that I've done to you, I cursed your name. I cursed his name. I cursed it. And yet he won't reject me. Do you know when you receive Christ into your life, the very same thing happens to you? Peter experienced this. It means freedom from his sin. And here's something so important for you today, as it was for Peter that day, and as for me, he was made free of his shame. Our sin produces shame in our hearts. And can I tell you, here's what shame tells you. Shame in your heart will tell you this, that you're just not enough for God. You'll never be enough. He can never deal with you. You're just too messed up. Shame tells you there's something just wrong with you. Shame makes everything Jesus did on that cross irrelevant, because it doesn't include me. I'm just too messed up. Look, we've all had times in our life when our lives and our faith have been completely shaken. And that's a time that the world's going through right now. But today, this weekend, I want you to hear something. I want you to put your name where the angel said, and Peter. I want you to hear your name, and John, and your name, that I want to meet with you, not in Galilee, but today. By the power of God, Jesus is alive. He turns no one away. He died for all. And that sounds wonderful, but let me make it real. He died for you. He died for me. He died for the individual, the and Peters. Today, he's asking of you, what will you do with the one that loved you like this? Because Jesus didn't just die to bear the sin punishment, but he died to bear the shame of our lives, to give us access to the presence of God. And you have the opportunity today, on the most important weekend of the Christian calendar, when we celebrate the resurrection of a Savior, to actually have a resurrection of your own. Because when you receive Christ into your heart, you become brand new. Your sin debt is canceled. And no matter where you are today, you might be alone, or maybe you're with a group of people, maybe family, I'm going to ask everybody right where you're at just to bow your head and close your eyes. If you will, think of just drawing a little circle around yourself and creating your own little altar right now before God. And I want you to listen to these words. What will you do with the Savior that died for you? What will you do with the one who shed his blood for you? I want you to hear his voice today, the personal invitation. Because sometimes we hear God say, go tell everybody, but we think it doesn't include us. I want you to hear, and Peter, and your name. I don't care what you've done, where you've been, whether you did it intentionally or not, whether you've loved God, whether you've hated God, whether you've cursed God. I want you to know that the love of God is so amazing that you can't send it away. But you get the decision today, this resurrection weekend, to have a resurrection of your own. What will you do with the Savior of the world? You may hope that you can go to heaven because you try to be a good person, or maybe you respond to this sin and shame by being religious and having church sacraments and trying to do good things and trying to earn eternal life. And can I tell you, you just can't do it. You can't earn this. That's why he's called a Savior. There is no way unless he saves you. What will you do with him? As every head is bowed and every eye is closed around you now, what will you do? You see, if you invite Jesus into your heart right now, he turns no one away. He will come and make you brand new. And there'll be a hope that will spring into your soul. There'll be a resurrection, a literal resurrection of power on the inside of you. And you can walk with God intimately, and he can take you through things you've never imagined that you can get through, but not just to get through them, to survive them, but to thrive, because God loves you immensely, and he's the maker of the universe. So if you'd like to invite Christ into your heart today, if you don't know that you've ever prayed to invite Jesus into your heart, please pray this with me right where you're at. If you're with a group of people, and maybe some of you have done this already, I'm going to ask you to pray it out loud. So maybe perhaps somebody there with you would feel comfortable and not isolated as you actually out loud invite a living Savior into your heart, of which he turns no one away. He will come into your life, and he will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. Man, this is the way to celebrate Easter. This is the way to celebrate a resurrection. Have one of your own. And right now you can decide what you do to receive or to reject the Son of God. And my heart's desire, and I pray for you right now, that you listen to the draw of God upon your heart and come to the one who loves you and come to the one who died for you. Pray this out loud where you hear it. If you want to invite Christ into your life and receive eternal life and have your sin debt canceled, pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father. Now pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you through Jesus Christ, the one who paid the debt for my sin. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt and punishment. He was buried, and then he rose from the dead, and he conquered death for me. And I invite you, Jesus, into my life and heart right now. Thank you for coming. Thank you for wiping away my sin. Thank you for making me brand new. Thank you for making me a child of the living God right now. Jesus, you are now the Lord and Savior of my life. And when I die, I am heaven bound because Jesus is my Savior. Amen. Amen. I'm so thrilled if you prayed that prayer with me. It's the best and most important decision you've ever made in your life. You know, I'm so grateful that we've celebrated Easter together this weekend. Thank you for taking the time to do that. But I'm also excited that for this coming Tuesday night, when we're going to have a live event where we're going to launch the You Ask For It series, and I'm going to answer specific questions that you've asked. And it's going to be a live event this Tuesday, and there's so much coming for you in content. It's going to help you navigate and to walk with God through these troubled times. But if you prayed with me, maybe for the very first time, or maybe you just think, I didn't know, and I wanted to be sure, and you prayed that prayer with me, I'm going to turn this over in just a moment as I close in prayer to our host, and they're going to walk you through and give you some such important information that you need if you prayed that prayer with me, and for all of us as we keep walking forward, as we trust God through this difficult time. Let me pray and just celebrate with you that prayed with me, and bless your families and pray for our nation as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Father, I thank you today for every person under the sound of my voice. I thank you for those who have given their life to Jesus, that forever now they will be with you. Lord, I pray for our nation. I pray for our leaders of our nation and all levels of government. Give them great wisdom. Pray for the medical profession and all of those that are serving to be able to meet the essential services. Thank you for divine protection over them. And I thank you, Lord, for healing our nation, for healing our land. We trust you for that, Father. We trust you. And I celebrate Jesus today, the Savior of the world. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Victory Family Church. If you enjoyed listening, please take a moment to rate, review, and share. For more resources, including locations and service times, please visit lifeatvictory.com.